Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we have an exciting program, a topic which affects all of us who live in the Columbia Pacific and beyond. Before we talk about that and I introduce my guests for this program today, I just want to do a quick little announcement. For the Apollo Archive Center in Nacelle, the Finns and the Swedes are getting together. They're having their champagne harvest dinner on November 15th, which is this Saturday, in Nacelle. This is a live music silent auction event with proceeds going to support the Archive Center. The Apollo Archive Center in Nacelle, which if you've not visited Nacelle, it's a charming town in Washington across the river from Astoria. And it's a real chance for you to dip into some Finnish, Swedish, Columbia River history. And if you are interested in that, you can Google the Apollo Archive Center. That's APPELLO. And you can call 360-484-7103. I'll leave that number at the station. But a great way to support this small organization. Today, we're going to be talking about a topic that, probably many of you know about. It's called LNG, or liquefied natural gas. Specifically, though, we'll be talking about the no LNG movement, which over the last decade has managed to keep the Columbia River LNG free. And what does that mean? What is the history of this issue, and how does it impact this area, and how is it continuing to impact this area? Today in the studio, I have Cheryl Johnson. Hi, Cheryl.
Good morning.
Cheryl is a co-chair of Columbia Pacific Common Sense, which is a grassroots organization which began 10 years ago and is continuing to function and have regular meetings. I also have in the studio Lori Kaplan. She is also a co-chair of Columbia Pacific Common Sense. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Donna.
Very happy to have both of you here. Haven't seen you for ages, it seems. And before we start talking about this issue, where we are now, where it's going, and there's a 10-year celebration next week for folks who have been involved or folks who want to be involved. On November 20th, we'll talk about that as well. Before we begin speaking about LNG in particular, Cheryl Johnson, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am a retired school librarian. Glad to be at home now and spending lots of time with two lovely granddaughters. My husband Ted and I have lived in Clatsop County since 1976, and we raised a son and a daughter here. And we live within walking distance of the Columbia River, and we think this is the most wonderful place in the world to live.
Yes, and we'll talk a little bit about how you got involved with that, too, because I think that's a great story that some people might want to know, how you became involved with this issue. Lori Kaplan, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. Donna, I moved here in 1996 and was fortunate enough to have a place that overlooked the Columbia. And now that I have my own home, it overlooks the Columbia River. And I've been primarily a teacher and a mental health counselor, therapist, and even worked at Job Corps and the college and Clatsop Behavioral Healthcare. And I am loving doing lots of volunteer work now and making art quilts and doing LNG work.
And how did you become involved, Cheryl, with no LNG, with Columbia Pacific Common Sense? I mean, what happened 10 years ago?
The very beginning of this was literally 10 years ago. So in November of 2004, a company that was then known as Calpine came to Clatsop County and very quietly was negotiating with the port of Astoria and ended up signing a 30-year lease for port property to bring in. At that point, they were saying an LNG import terminal because we, in quotes, needed to bring in this important natural resource, liquefied natural gas. And at that point in time, there were some folks in Clatsop County who became aware of this and alarmed that something this significant had happened with virtually no public input. And I was not one of those people, but thank goodness there were people who were paying attention. And very quickly then, they began to educate the community. And what happened then is, as word got out of what this meant, and as people began to understand what it would mean for their communities, then these wonderful little grassroots organizations sprang up on both the Washington and the Oregon side of the river, all up and down the river. And the Columbia River does not understand that we arbitrarily put this dotted line down the middle of it, and that we think half of it belongs to Washington and half of it belongs to Oregon, but indeed, it's just flowing to the ocean. So there's a long, sweet history of groups of people who got together in their own community, educated themselves, educated their neighbors. In the very first group to get organized was in Warrenton, and that was People for Responsible Prosperity. And two of the women who to this day are my idols, these little tiny short women with fire in their belly, Rose Priven and Sally Smith, who went to the meetings and spoke back to this raft of PR people who had come from out of town, out of state, this raft of lawyers who were paid lots of money to come and influence our communities. About that time, River Vision came up. River Vision was based in Astoria. There was a pipeline that was proposed to go under the river and across into Washington. Friends over in Wakayakum Friends of the River, based in Puget Island and Kathlamet, they formed a group. Landowners and Citizens for a Safe Community, based in Longview, formed a group dealing with the pipeline. So there are all of these wonderful little tiny local citizen groups happening on both the Washington and the Oregon side, all up and down the river. And then, go ahead.
Why did they get so alarmed, Cheryl? What was so bad about it? Well, I mean, if you know, in other words, what created this passion and these people coming together and involved you, involved Lori? What is the underlying issue that really created this this alarm?
So many issues. Safety is a major concern. Safety at the plant, which would be based in Warrenton.
So there would be a giant plant, which is 17 stories high. I mean, maybe we should set the scenario of what would happen. What did these people really want to do?
Okay, this is Lori, and I will try in a few sentences to cover something.
Right.
Okay. The terminal itself, as the proposal now stands, would be two storage tanks, each 17 stories tall, and each with the diameter equal to the length of a football field. These are not farm silos. These are so big. Think of it like a city block in diameter. The terminal itself is a bunch of structures that would be on the Skipanon Peninsula, right in the heart of Warrenton, and would essentially pretty much fill the peninsula all the way out to where the Skipanon and the Columbia meet. That site is sand on top of fill, on top of bedrock no one can find, and it is in a below sea level in a subduction, earthquake, and tsunami zone.
So, that does not sound like a really wise place to put a giant facility like that.
And I think even in the industry, there are people who have said this is crazy. And certainly anyone who has studied remotely any of these huge, massive industrial projects and chemical scientists and petroleum engineers and all those people would agree that this kind of facility shouldn't be located within distance of communities. And not only would this be a neighbor to Warrenton, it'd be in Warrenton's front yard, and it's in Astoria's backyard, essentially.
Yeah, so obviously there are the viewshed issues, the issues of safety, public safety, explosions. We've all read about some of the LNG explosions that have happened over the last few years. And also there's the fact that we live in the Columbia River estuary, the estuary itself, which only exists for these first 30 miles or so of at the mouth of the Columbia, which is where we are. The river is around 1,100 miles long. So the estuary itself, which is where salmon habitat is, it was so vital for these, the small salmon before they go out into the ocean as they're returning. So that was, I think, also an issue. And so people got involved, Cheryl and Lori, right, because of public safety issues, changing the whole character of the Warrenton, Astoria, Columbia River communities.
Exactly. And really, we could probably list 50 or 60 specific reasons why this project should not happen for people who care about global climate change, for people who don't think we should be exporting natural resources, for people who don't believe in fracking, because the gas that would be exported, should this terminal be built, would be fracked natural gas. And so the list goes on, but I think what Cheryl said, for us, it's the health and vitality of our communities and our people, of our economies, and of course of the river. So
the impacts on the river are really significant and unique to this community. There is, of course, industry on the Columbia River in lots of places, but the proposal for the LNG import terminal would involve massive amounts of dredging in the Columbia River. And as you said, this is critical salmon habitat. Right now on the Columbia River, there are 13 species of salmon that are threatened or endangered. And the estuary has been referred to as a salmon nursery. If you do massive dredging, then you are doing a very deep negative impact on that salmon nursery.
And a lot of people actually think that no LNG, well, here it's 10 years, there's no LNG, and it's all over because there was another company, not just the Calpine, which then changed its name to Oregon LNG, but there was Bradwood, and Bradwood actually was defeated by all of these grassroots organizations with help from Columbia Riverkeeper, correct?
Exactly. So when way back a decade ago in 2004 and in 2005, all of these wonderful little local organizations are popping up on both sides of the river. And very soon we realized that this was a classic David and Goliath kind of battle and that we could not do this alone. So we began talking to other environmental organizations in the Pacific Northwest, and it was Columbia Riverkeeper who said yes to us. We will work with local citizens. And what we needed science expertise to help us testify at multiple hearings. We're doing hearings at the city level, at the county level, at the state level, at the federal level. So there's permitting happening at all of these levels simultaneously. And we also needed lawyers. It was very clear that we were going to be ending up in court over and over again. And we did not have lawyers. We did not have scientists. So we needed an environmental organization to partner with us, but who would work with the locals and follow our lead in what our priorities are and how to proceed. And that organization became Columbia Riverkeeper. And so we have been working with them probably over the last 8 years. So a long and positive working relationship.
And part of what that is, Donna, is the company needs permits at almost every level. Well, yes,
so
at
this is
every
a,
level.
This company, which is, I think it was based in New York, are speculators. These are energy speculators who came in and said, oh, look, here's this, you know, we want to do it here, and did not expect to have the fight back from the community.
I think that's right. And what we've learned is that a lot of other communities across the country who are battling these kind of not just necessarily environmental disasters waiting to happen, but all kinds of corporate intrusions, I guess would be the word, that they are looking at what we've accomplished here in this teeny little part of the world with not a whole lot of thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and certainly not millions and millions of dollars, but just sheer determination and hard work and a little bit of money to see what local people can do. So my line is, it takes a lot of villages to defeat LNG, and our motto now is onward to victory, because we have outsmarted and outthought and outworked the companies that have tried to come in and destroy our world.
And you still need to, though, because
we still need to.
And we're going to find out in the second half of the program where we are now and what still is happening. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today we're talking about the 10-year-old No LNG or liquefied natural gas movement here in the Columbia Pacific region, which this is the estuary of the Columbia River here, and where Astoria meets the ocean and Warrenton, and it involves this region and beyond. My guests are Cheryl Johnson and Lori Kaplan. They are co-chairs of the Columbia Pacific Common Sense Organization and have been working on this issue, attending meetings. And actually, there are ongoing meetings of the Columbia Pacific Common Sense, which they'll talk about now. So over the 10-year period, you all have had one huge success, which is there was this proposal for the big, for the huge LNG facility in Warrenton, which is ongoing, that has not gone away. And then there was one at Bradwood Landing, which was about, I don't know, 15 or 20 miles upriver. And the Bradwood actually went away when they realized that there were...
Well, they did worse than that. They quit on May 4th, and on May 5th, they declared bankruptcy, and they left town owing businesses money, owing Clatsop County, I think, close to $200,000. They left unpaid pledges to various local charities and organizations, and they stunned a lot of people who had believed their promises, which we knew were deceptive, I guess, illusory. I think people are more wary now because there's so much money to be gained for these companies that they, in my impression is, that they'll just plunge ahead and they don't really care who gets hurt in the process. And we saw that with Bradwood Landing. We're hoping that we can make Oregon LNG go away without that company hurting this community any more than it already has.
There have been significant victories in the past 10 years of local citizens coming together, educating themselves, educating their neighbors, and working. In September of 2008, in Clatsop County, we passed a no LNG pipeline referendum that was brought up by the people. And that referendum, no pipelines in parks, passed was by 67% of no votes. That was the only thing on the ballot, so it was a special election, and there was a 58% turnout. So that
shows people really care about this
issue.
That
was definitely power from the people. And as Lori was talking about, in May of 2010, Bradwood Landing suspended their permitting and then declared bankruptcy. In November of 2010, there were Clatsop County elections, and the original Clatsop County commissioners were voting yes to permit the pipeline and the pipeline in Clatsop County, despite the fact that their staff had recommended no, and despite the fact that there had been hours and hundreds of people coming and testifying from Clatsop County that they did not want it. And so the people of Clatsop County worked hard to find good people who were willing to run for election, and then to run old-fashioned grassroots elections. And in November of 2010, we elected three new county commissioners who did not believe that LNG was good for the community. And we did it by knocking on doors, by going door-to-door, by doorbelling. There was not a great deal of money that came in. It was small and simple.
And so all of this work has happened, and now you're going to celebrate the fact that 10 years have passed. However, there is ongoing work. Where are we now? Because there are some things coming up now. What happened? So with Warrenton, Warrenton is still alive because even though they were going to be an import facility because we needed all this fuel, right?
That's what the company said.
That's what they said in the beginning. Now suddenly they changed and they said, oh, no, wait, now we're going to be an export facility. So they've been morphing and changing and all of that. So where is that Oregon LNG project now in Warrenton? And what is Columbia Pacific Common Sense and Columbia Riverkeeper doing? And how can citizens be involved?
Coming up very shortly, possibly in December or probably in January, there will be a series of public hearings in Warrenton. So the city of Warrenton is responsible for permitting or not permitting the terminal. Clatsop County is responsible for permitting or not permitting the pipeline. So those two responsibilities are divided. And as we have mentioned, originally Oregon LNG was proposing to import LNG. They now need to export it. So there's a whole new set of permits that they need. So the process, as we understand it, is that these permits will go before the Planning Commission, and citizens will be invited to come and testify. And then they will make a recommendation, which will go to the Warrenton City Council, and the citizens will be invited to come and testify. So coming up within the next few months will be some very, very important hearings that local citizens can participate in, and this is an opportunity for people to continue to be educated and then to come and speak about what their concerns are.
But the power doesn't just rest in Warrenton. I mean, there are obviously federal agencies and things. But the Warrenton hearing is really where the public in this Columbia Pacific region and those outside who truly care about what happens in this area, which belongs to everyone, the river, what else? I mean, they're not the only ones.
No, there's... Part of the complexity of this is that at every level of government, city, county, state, and federal, there are different kinds of laws in place and different permitting requirements, different processes that go on. Should Warrenton say no? Should Warrenton say, we may want this project, but it doesn't meet our laws? Then there would probably be more discussion, more hearings, maybe court. It's hard to say what the city of Warrenton would do. In the past, Oregon LNG has challenged every decision that hasn't gone its way, and that's what takes us to court. And in the past, all these local organizations and Columbia Riverkeeper have worked together to provide outstanding legal representation in court. So it gets complicated. It can look frustrating, but we are actually making huge progress because most people thought that Bradwood Landing would be built by now. Most people thought that Oregon LNG would be underway by now. So it is because of hundreds and hundreds of people participating in the process that none of that has happened. And that's why we're celebrating on November 20th. But it is an ongoing process, and it's why we have monthly meetings with Columbia Pacific Common Sense. It's why we send out emails to provide updates and news, because there's always something happening, even if it's not something we would read about necessarily locally.
So people can still be engaged because it isn't over yet.
Can still. We need people to be engaged. Absolutely.
And Cheryl, do you want to address any other issues about this?
As we were saying, the terminal permitting will happen in Warrenton. The pipeline permitting is happening in Clatsop County, and those newly elected county commissioners voted 5-0 that the pipeline to go through Clatsop County does not fit our land use goals. And so then that was appealed and is currently in court at LUBA, at the Land Use Board of Appeals. And we don't get too technical, but the county decision is in court right now, and we are hoping for positive outcomes from that. So the permitting is happening on a wide basis simultaneously. So
there are federal permits and things of that
and
nature, too.
And state permits, too, which is why we encourage people to contact Governor Kitzhaber and tell him to say no, because he could effectively stop all of this rigmarole, just as he has stopped the coal trains going through Oregon, or at least expanding. So there's a lot that can be done at every level, and part of what we try to do is let our elected officials know that they need to represent us and they need to follow the law. And by any reasonable standard, this terminal and this pipeline do not meet state or county or city land use laws.
And then hopefully the FERC, the federal government would then say, would then really look at this in a different way with all of this input, what's happening from at the state level and the local level.
That's what our hope is.
And this party that's happening on the 20th is for people who have been involved in this issue over the last 10 years and people who would like to be involved in this issue, who are perhaps on the same page. And that's happening at the Grace Episcopal Church on the 20th of this month.
Right. At 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, we will provide pizza and a donation jar to help pay for the pizza. And we're asking everyone who's coming to please bring a potluck dish to share. I understand there will be a cake, but we always like desserts and side dishes.
Okay.
It will be a party.
Okay.
A teeny bit of time for an update, but it is essentially a party to celebrate people power and to celebrate the fabulous people who have done so much to keep our communities safe from this horrible, reckless, dangerous, greed-driven project.
Oh, well, okay, we know how you feel about that.
I hope so.
We just have a few minutes left. Cheryl, what other things would you like the listening audience to know at this point?
The celebration of 10 years of people power not having LNG terminals or pipelines on the Columbia River or in our communities is something so exciting and worth celebrating. And the fact that sometimes people ask me, how can you carry on and do this for 10 years? When I began, I thought, I made a 2-year commitment. It'll either be in or it'll be out in 2 years. I never dreamed I would be doing this a decade later. But one of the sweet things that has come out of this is the friendships that we have made. My husband and I are now close friends with people who live in Washington that we didn't even know were there before. But we've worked together, and now there are, friendships that will continue throughout the rest of our lives because of this. On November 20th, it should be a very joyous celebration. We're putting together a slideshow of all the activities that we've participated in over the last 10 years, and it should be a joy.
And congratulations for all that you've done and ongoing. And so if you're interested in becoming a member of Columbia Pacific Common Sense, or I don't even know if you have memberships or people know you don't know memberships, just show up. If you're interested, if this issue reaches your heart, you can call Lori Kaplan at 503-338-6508. And I'll leave that number at the station. And Columbia Riverkeeper, of course, is a great resource, and that can connect you to everyone who's doing this work. And I want to thank both of you so much for your work, your dedication, your passion to the qualities which make life worthwhile in this community. And it is a David and Goliath situation. And so there's one battle has been won. The next is still ongoing. However, there is hope and there is passion.
My favorite quote is from Margaret Mead, and it goes something like, it's a favorite of a lot of people, never doubt that a small group of dedicated citizens can change the world, for indeed it is the only thing that ever has.
Yes, thank you so much, both Cheryl Johnson and Lori Kaplan of Columbia Pacific Common Sense. And I encourage you to learn more about this issue through the Columbia River Keeper website or by calling Lori. Thank you so much for engineering, Kathleen Morgang. And also, I want to express my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Brun for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the good things in your life, focus on the things that are working. There will always be things which aren't working. Focus on those things which are good, and on feeling good and giving yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment on the amazing planet we call Earth.